Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time we're going to be looking at parables in the Gospel of Mark, specifically Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 34.
Right.
And we're going to be talking about this with or through a lecture by Dr. Mark Jennings, who is like a, you know, Bible scholar.
So, he's a great resource for this.
Yeah. So we're going to be kind of unpacking, you know, these parables and how they function as teaching tools and why they resonate with people so deeply, and also what they reveal about how Jesus communicated.
Yeah. I think that's what I really love about this deep dive is it's not just like, here are the stories that we all know.
Right.
It's like, what can we learn from them? What makes these effective teaching tools, and how did Jesus use them, and how are we to understand them today?
Yeah. And one thing I think is so fascinating about parables is, like, on the surface, they seem so simple, you know?
Right.
They're just these like little stories, but then they contain these huge truths. And that's why Dr. Jennings calls them expanded analogies.
That's a good way to put it.
And I thought that was a really good way to think about them. Like,
yeah, they're meant to make a point, you know, but they're not just like straight to the point.
Yeah.
They're an analogy. They're supposed to make you think.
Yeah, and he quotes Kenneth Bailey, who says that parables are imaginary gardens with real toads in them.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought that was, like, such a vivid image.
That is a good one.
Of how they blend, like, fiction and truth.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
It is a great image, and I think that's what makes them so effective.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody just comes at you with, like, a statement.
Yeah.
You can kind of put your defenses up, but when somebody tells you a story.
Right.
It disarms you. And then you're thinking through these things
that
maybe you wouldn't have wanted to think through before.
And Dr. Jennings even mentions that he thinks, you know, this was especially effective in places like, you know, New England, where people are kind of skeptical, you know.
I could see that. Yeah.
So maybe Jesus was like using that to his advantage, like knowing that people are skeptical. So I'm going to tell them a story and they're going to.
It's kind of a backdoor.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
And so one of the things Dr. Jennings talks about is there are like two main approaches to interpreting parables.
Okay.
One is the traditional way, which was to like allegorize them.
Right.
Like every little detail has some symbolic meaning.
You're trying to crack the code, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember learning parables that way.
Yeah, me too.
When I was a kid.
And that makes sense because, you know, Jesus does do that with some of the parables.
Like the silver.
Yeah. He'll say like, okay, this represents this and this represents that.
But then he doesn't do that with other ones. So it's
okay,
how much
should we?
It's symbolic.
Yeah.
And then who gets to decide?
Yeah. And is it the reader or is it Jesus?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the debate.
Yeah.
And it's a good one, I think.
Yeah. So I think a good example of this is like the parable of the sower. Or I guess as Dr. Jennings points out, it's really the parable of the soils.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's not really about the sower. It's about the different soils and how the seed, which represents like the word of God,
right,
lands on different types of ground and it represents the different responses.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
To the word of God.
Yeah.
And one thing that's interesting in this parable is it uses the phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Oh, yeah.
And so that kind of makes you wonder, like,
who is that talking about?
Yeah. Is it talking about everybody or is it talking about like
spiritual ears?
Yeah. Like you have to have spiritual ears to hear this.
Right. Is it just for some people or is it for everyone?
And that kind of goes back to this idea of like secrets and judgment that Dr. Jennings talks about.
Okay.
He says the secret of the kingdom of God isn't like a mystery for mystery's sake. It's about revelation.
Okay, so it's God revealing what was hidden.
Yeah, and so that makes you wonder, like, well, why was it hidden in the first place and why choose to reveal it in parables?
Right, why not just tell everyone?
Yeah, straight up.
And so there's this one verse in Mark 4 that Dr. Jennings talks about.
Okay.
That's actually kind of controversial, where Jesus says he speaks in parables so that some people won't understand.
Oh, wow.
Which kind of makes it seem like he's intentionally being obscure.
Right.
But Dr. Jennings has a different take on it.
Okay. I'm interested to hear this.
He sees it as like a judgment statement, kind of like the prophets in the Old Testament,
right,
like Isaiah.
Yeah.
Who would say that, you know, people have eyes, but they don't see, and ears, but they don't hear.
Right.
Like, it's not that Jesus is trying to exclude people.
Right.
But it's recognizing that the people who have already rejected him.
Okay.
Might not get it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Even if it's presented to them in a parable.
It's like the message itself becomes the judgment.
And he connects this with the idea of hardening.
Hardening of the heart.
Yeah, like God allowing someone's heart to become resistant to the truth. Now, when we say hardening of the heart, we're not talking about God like forcing someone to reject it.
Or like
It's allowing the consequences of their own choices to play out.
And he uses the example of Pharaoh, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like Pharaoh's stubborn refusal to acknowledge God's power ultimately served to demonstrate God's power even more dramatically.
It is part of the plan for God to reveal himself.
Yeah, so.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough concept.
It's a tough theological concept, but it helps us understand like why some people might not get the message of the parables even if they hear the words.
Right. It's not just random.
Yeah.
It's related to choices that they've made.
Yeah. So we're going to move beyond the sower now.
Okay.
Dr. DeJennings also dives into some other parables in Mark 4.
Okay.
Like the lamp on a stand and the mustard seed, and he offers some really interesting interpretations.
Give me a lamp on a stand. What do you think about that one?
Well, one thing he does is he compares it to Luke's version of the parable.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
In Luke's version, the focus is on the eventual revelation.
Okay.
That, like, the light will be brought out into the open.
So everybody will see it.
Yeah. But in Mark's version,
okay,
Dr. Jennings argues that the emphasis is on the purpose of hiding the lamp for a time.
That's interesting.
Like, it's not just that the truth will come out eventually. It's that there's a reason for concealing it.
This is like a strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it makes you wonder, like, what is God strategically revealing to us now?
Right.
And what is he holding back?
For later.
Yeah, for a later time.
Wow. That's a great point. I love that.
Yeah.
So there's like a divine timing element to Revelation.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder, like, you know, sometimes we pray for understanding or guidance.
Right.
But we don't receive it right away. Maybe. And maybe it's not that God isn't listening, but that he's waiting.
Waiting for the right time. Yeah, like it's not time yet.
Yeah, and that's one thing I really appreciate about Dr. Jennings' lecture.
What's that?
Is he doesn't shy away from these, like, kind of challenging aspects.
Yeah, the tough questions.
Yeah, of the parables, you know?
Yeah, he's not sugarcoating things.
Right.
He's helping us see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the journey of faith is, it's not always easy.
Right.
But it's worth it.
Yeah.
I like that.
And he points out that even though Jesus used parables extensively, he also took the time to explain them to his disciples.
Right. He wasn't trying to keep them in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it shows that, like, these parables aren't meant to be, like, riddles.
Right.
That we're left to just figure out on our own.
It's not a puzzle.
They're meant to solve. Yeah. Like, starting points for a deeper conversation.
Right. And it's interesting to think about that in terms of community, too.
Yeah.
Like, we're not meant to do this alone.
Yeah.
We need each other.
Yeah.
To kind of help us unpack these things.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, the idea of, like, Bible study groups and things like that can be really helpful because it's like a group of friends.
Sitting around a campfire.
Yeah.
Sharing stories and insights.
Yeah.
And we can learn so much from each other.
Right.
That way.
So it's not just about, like, okay, here's the answer. Here's what it means. Mm. It's like, let's wrestle with this together.
Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
Let's ask questions. Let's challenge each other.
Yeah.
And help each other grow in the process.
And I think that's what makes studying the Bible so rewarding is it's like a lifelong journey of discovery.
I like that.
You know? And the more we delve into these teachings, the more we uncover, like, new layers of meaning and relevance for our own lives.
And it's like these parables are seeds themselves.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, good point.
Planted in our hearts and minds.
Right.
Waiting to sprout and grow.
But just like a seed needs like the right conditions to flourish. Mm. So too does our understanding of God's word.
Yeah, we have to cultivate that soil.
We have to like create the environment where faith can take root and thrive.
And that means being willing to listen to questions, to be challenged, and to be transformed by what we encounter in these stories.
Yeah. And that's kind of the key takeaway, I think, from Dr. Jennings's lecture is like the real work begins when we take these teachings
out of the classroom.
Yeah. Out of the classroom and into the world.
Into our lives.
Yeah. And it's about like putting them into practice.
Yeah. Making them real.
Yeah.
In our lives.
And so as we wrap up our deep dive into the parables of Mark 4.
Okay.
I want to leave you with a question.
All right. I'm ready.
If these parables are meant to provoke thought and inspire action,
okay,
which one resonates most with you today?
Ooh, that's a good one.
And what action does it call you to take?
Yeah.
And we'll pick up right here next time for part two.
Sounds good. Yeah, it's not just about the truth coming out. It's about why it was hidden in the first place.
Yeah.
And what we do with that truth once we have it.
Yeah, like in the parable, it talks about putting the lamp on a stand so that everybody can see it.
Right. It's not just for you.
Right.
It's for everybody.
So there's like a responsibility that comes with understanding.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's not enough to just have the knowledge. You got to share it.
You got to let your light shine.
Yeah. And that kind of makes me think about the parable of the mustard seed, too.
Okay.
Dr. Jennings pointed out something interesting about this one.
Oh, yeah?
He said it might be less about the eventual size of the plant.
Okay.
And more about the surprisingly small beginnings
okay.
of the kingdom of God.
Like how something so small
yeah.
can grow into something.
Yeah.
So big.
And it challenges, like, our ideas of what's important, you know?
Yeah, we tend to think bigger is better.
Right.
But God often works in ways that we don't expect.
Right.
And it all starts small.
Yeah, like from little acorns, mighty oaks grow.
Exactly.
That's a good one.
I like that.
And speaking of the parable of the sower.
Okay, back to that one.
Yeah, remember how we were talking about the seed falling on different types of ground?
Yeah, the different soils.
Well, Dr. Jennings points out that it's not just about the types of soil, but also about the yield.
Oh, okay.
Like the seed that falls on good soil, it produces a crop.
Right.
But sometimes it's 30-fold, sometimes it's 60-fold, and sometimes it's 100-fold.
So there's like different levels of
right.
fruitfulness.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, like, what makes the difference?
Yeah. What causes some to produce more than others?
Yeah. Like, is it something about the soil itself, or is it something about the way the seed is received?
Or the care that it's given.
Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, the analogy of gardening comes in.
Okay.
Like, some plants thrive more than others, depending on the care they receive and the environment they're in.
So it's not just about the seed, it's about the whole environment.
Exactly. And I think that applies to our spiritual growth, too.
Yeah, we need to be intentional about creating the right environment.
Right. And we need to be aware of the things that can hinder our growth.
Like what kind of things?
Well, Jesus talks about the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things.
Right. All those things can choke out the word.
Yeah, and I think it's so easy to get caught up in those things.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially in our culture today.
Yeah, we're constantly bombarded with messages about what we should be buying and how we should be living.
Right, and it's easy to lose sight of what really matters.
So it's not about rejecting those things altogether. It's about keeping them in perspective.
Yeah.
And not letting them control us.
Right. It's about seeking first the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and his righteousness.
Yeah, and then all those other things will fall into place.
That's a good reminder.
Yeah.
I need to hear that sometime.
Me too. And before we move on, I wanted to touch on something you mentioned earlier.
What's that?
About the role of Satan.
Oh, yeah.
In the parable of the sower.
It's interesting that he's even mentioned in that parable.
Yeah, like he's actively trying to snatch away the seed.
Yeah, before it can even take root.
So even if we don't take Satan literally.
Right.
I think it's a good reminder that there are forces at work.
Yeah, both internal and external.
That are trying to prevent us from hearing and understanding the truth.
So we need to be vigilant.
Yeah.
We need to be on guard.
Yeah, like putting on the armor of God.
Yeah. Ephesians 6 talks about that.
Yeah. And I appreciate how Dr. Jennings doesn't shy away from that aspect of the parables.
Yeah, he doesn't pretend that it's all sunshine and roses.
Yeah.
There's a real battle going on.
Yeah. So now I want to hear more about the parable of the lamp on a stand.
Okay, yeah, we were talking about that.
What else did Dr. Jennings have to say about that one?
Well, he contrasted Mark's version with Luke's version.
Right.
And in Luke's version, the focus is on the eventual revelation.
Yeah, like the truth will come out.
Right. Everybody will see it eventually.
But in Mark's version, Dr. Jennings argues that the emphasis is on the purpose of hiding the lamp for a time.
So there's a reason.
Yeah.
For the delay.
Yeah, like, it's not just that the truth will come out eventually. It's that there's a deliberate reason for concealing it in the first place.
Like, God is up to something.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, what is God strategically revealing to us now?
Right.
And what is he holding back for a later time?
It's like there's a divine timing.
Yeah.
To revelation.
Yeah. And maybe there are some things we're just not ready to grasp until we've gone through certain experiences.
Right. Or learned certain lessons.
Yeah. And it reminds me of something Dr. Jennings said towards the end of his lecture.
What's that?
He emphasized that even though Jesus used parables extensively, he also took the time to explain them to his disciples.
Although that's a good point.
So it shows that the parables aren't meant to be like riddles that we're left to solve on our own.
Yeah. We're not supposed to just figure it out by ourselves.
Yeah. They're starting points for deeper exploration and discussion.
And that makes me think about, like, the importance of community.
Right.
When it comes to understanding the Bible.
Yeah, we need each other to help us unpack these teachings.
We can learn so much from each other.
Yeah, it's like a group of friends, you know?
Sitting around a campfire.
Yeah.
Sharing stories and insights.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes studying the Bible so rewarding.
It's a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
Of discovery.
The more we delve into these teachings, the more we uncover new layers of meaning.
Absolutely. And relevance for our own lives.
Yeah, and it's like these parables are seeds themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Planted in our hearts and minds, waiting to sprout and grow.
We have to make sure we're cultivating that soil, though.
Right. We need to create the environment where faith can take root and thrive.
Be willing to listen to question, to be challenged, and to be transformed by what we encounter.
Yeah. And so as we wrap up our deep dive into the parables of Mark 4.
Okay.
I want to leave you with this question.
All right, hit me.
If these parables are meant to provoke thought and inspire action, which one resonates most with you today?
That is a good question.
And what action does it call you to take?
Maybe it's the parable of the sower.
Yeah.
It's a good one to think about.
Examine the soil of your own heart.
What's going on in there?
Yeah. What are the obstacles that might be hindering your growth?
Or maybe it's the parable of the lamp on a stand.
Yeah, let your light shine.
Be a source of hope and encouragement to those around you.
Or maybe it's the parable of the mustard seed.
Yeah.
Even the smallest act of faithfulness can have a huge impact.
That's right.
God can use our humble efforts to accomplish great things.
Absolutely.
So whatever parable speaks to you most deeply right now, let it be a catalyst for growth, for transformation, for living a life that's more aligned with God's purposes.
I love that.
Let these stories ignite your imagination, challenge your assumptions, and inspire you to seek a deeper understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of God.
Well said.
All right. That's it for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
Take care.